And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Sad birthday to you. Sad birthday to you. 1 year closer to oblivion. Sad birthday to you.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 7th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. To my left, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And the man making the magic happen. We usually refer to him as our super producer, but today he is simply the birthday boy. It's JD.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, happy birthday,
you.
JD. Happy sad birthday.
Sad birthday.
Sad birthday
to you.
Sad birthday. How are you?
As always, I wanted to keep it on the down low, but of course, Rachel posted on Facebook, Instagram, Discord, everything.
Oh.
So I swapped out the cold open for
I love it. Well, happy birthday to JD. If you're in the stream team right now, give him a birthday gift by hitting that like button. Make sure you've subscribed to No Dunks. All you podcast listeners, leave him, only JD, a 5-star rating and review. That'd be a nice gift, wouldn't it?
Yeah, nice. That I'd like.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we got a fun one here. We're going to be drafting last night's best games because we had a very busy slate in the NBA. And a little bit later on, we're going to share some stats you need to know after 2 weeks in this season. But my, oh my, we missed some wedgies. I can't believe this, but we uncovered two wedgies last night from November 1st. That's right. 5 or 6 nights ago, first one was Memphis, Utah, and it's John Collins, our guy John Collins, sticking one early in that game. So that was officially wedgie number one. Guys, again, this is from November 1st.
That was a quickie.
Same night, we had Brandon Miller, the rook for the Hornets, in Houston, drew the foul, but he stuck the wedgie on the shot, went to the line, so it counts. So just like that, we actually have two wedgies. But I didn't sleep at all last night.
Mm.
What the hell happened? How did we miss these? How did the people miss these? What's going on?
Wednesdays are a big night. This was a Wednesday night, Skeets. Perhaps there was a Halloween hangover, you know, where just out of it without the sugar coursing through our sis.
Yeah.
We missed these ones. You slept poorly, you said, knowing we missed them. I slept great since we found them.
Because
it was a disappointing start to the season to not have any wedgies through almost 2 weeks of the season. Little did we know they were just hiding in plain sight.
I know. It's incredible. Thank you to everybody that helped us find these. We learned about the one, that first one, John Collins, at some point there last night. And then on playback last night, thanks to everybody that joined us live on that, somebody brought up the idea like, oh, there was another one.
There was another.
And you were like doing a deep dive while we were live on playback. And we got it. I mean, again, I didn't sleep. I watched all of the games that we've had this season. I've watched over 100 games last night and went through the logs.
Grinding tape.
Exactly. I mean, it's I don't know. Everything is a lie now. There might be 100 wedgies this year, for all we know.
Please let us know. If you see something, say something.
That's right. Yeah, maybe that'll get us going. Like, it's a nice reminder that if you do see a wedgie, even one if you think it's a little controversial, like, does it count? Tweet at us. At J.E. Skeets, at Trey Kirby, at No Dunks Inc., and let us know. We could also blame X/Twitter.
I think it was partly them.
I don't think the tweets were getting through.
Could be.
I wasn't seeing them.
Could be.
What's going on, Elon? Yeah. Anyway, we got two wedgies, so that is great. Happy birthday to you, J.D. Two wedgies. All right. Let's get to drafting last night's best games, or whatever games you actually want to talk about. Trey, you get the number one pick. Once again, where do you want to start?
Coming up, Kirby.
Yeah, it does.
I love this.
I like you getting us started. So what's your number one pick from the 12 games last night?
You know, number one on the draft board heading into the draft process, Skeets, the number one offense, Boston Celtics, versus the number one defense, Minnesota Timberwolves. After all of the pre-prep for the draft, still the game of the night at the end of the night. Ooh, a couple of takeaways from a huge Minnesota win. First one to me, this Timberwolves defense is legit, yeah. Skeets. They held the Celtics to 101 points in regulation. That's their fewest this season. They went on to get 109 in OT, but who cares? They held the Celtics under 40% from the field for the first time this season, forced 18 turnovers, a season high for Boston, and the Celtics only hit 11 threes. That's their fewest this season.
Yeah.
Waking up this morning, now Boston sucks. They're all the way down in third for offensive grading, just based on last night, because the Timberwolves are a big team. Mike Conley's kind of the only guy who's normal size for his position, but everything else, sizable guys, 2 7-footers in Cat and Gobert. Gobert has been incredible to start the season. And then they have athleticism and playmaking on the defensive side of the ball. Anthony Edwards, we saw getting steals. Jaden McDaniels is one of the best defenders in the league, and he's really been weaponized early in the season. I mean, we're 2 weeks in. They're the best defense in the league. Who knows if they finish the season like that? But the fundamentals are there, and they definitely are tied in together and given quite the effort on that end of the ball. The other takeaway, Ant-Man was giant man in OT. He was pretty good in regulation. Anthony Edwards had 30 points. Some questionable shots, I would say, down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Just wanted to take step-back jumpers. They did not go in, but the Celtics kind of let him off the hook doing the exact same thing. But then he hit the Pym particles for the extra period. Scored 8 points in OT to the Celtics. 8 points, and it was takeover mode. He assisted Mike Conley on a three to put Minnesota up by one, then three straight jumpers by Anthony Edwards after missing all those at the end of regulation. This was awesome to see. The building was completely hyped. It was like a play-in game there. They were going so crazy.
It was a loud crowd. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, what is this? The in-season tournament? This is amazing. It was awesome. You're right. He took over there in overtime. He even had a heat check airball three after he was feeling it. But 15 for 25 for Ant, 38 points, 9 boards, 7 assists, had the steal there. And then McDaniels, who obviously, you know, or I forgot, you know, missed a couple games to start this season. You know, he's obviously back, and you know you're going to get elite defense, which he gave them. But then he's knocking down 4 threes, 8 of 18 overall for 20 points. And this was a game in which, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns fouls out early in overtime. And maybe it was a blessing in disguise for the Wolves. I mean, we got to get that guy a Mr. Temper Boy shirt. Karl-Anthony Towns throws a lot of little mini temper tantrums.
Tempy tantrums.
You know, when, from either a bad call or a missed, like, or somebody misses inside. He did it even when the Wolves, you know, botched a play. I guess it was a rebound that they probably should have had and they gave up. But what a win here. Now taking down the Nuggets and the Celtics for the Wolves.
Yeah, they're the only team to have beaten the Nuggets, the only team to have beaten the Celtics. And yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns definitely had a weird one. He just plays like, even Jim Peterson says it on their broadcast, he just plays out of control offensively. Yeah. The way he drives in, he got that offensive foul for like a massive push off and then fouled out just a couple of plays later. And then obviously the Timberwolves took over basically as soon as Towns went out, which was interesting to see. You know, there's a lot of talk about, will he be a trade target later on this season? Understandable considering the draft assets that Minnesota gave away to get Rudy Gobert, but the team is good right now. I would not personally trade Towns. He's still 7 feet tall. He still rebounds. He has had some shortcomings in the playoffs, no doubt about it. And maybe that's something in the future that they do, but the team is rolling and it helps having 2 7-footers out there. Even though Towns is not a great defensive player, the size that he brings alongside Naz Reid coming off the bench, like, it's great to have a guy like Naz Reid when you have foul trouble for Karl-Anthony Towns.
It's sort of insane the Wolves won this game despite their 2 7-footers shooting a combined 2 for 11 at the free throw line. Towns didn't shoot one.
Nah.
He was an ofer. 0 for 0. 0% or 100%. Depends on how you look at it. Gobert shot 2 for 11 at the line. I don't want to bury the guy here because he's been really, really good. Was really good in this game. You know, 14 points, 12 boards. That's what he's out there to do. Obviously, defense. Didn't miss a shot, but 2 for 11. What are you, Chris Dudley? I mean, that's some crazy numbers. He's not that bad usually at the line, but wild. They pulled it out. Ant took over, and was just, it was just special when the place was going insane. That was an awesome crowd, man. They're like, they are just ready for any small taste of success there. Even a big win over, you know, a previously unbeaten team there in Boston feels, like you said, like a play-in game or a playoff moment.
They've had slow starts the past couple of seasons, even before Gobert got there, just kind of getting derailed at the start of the season, have to put it all together heading into the play-in tournament or into the playoffs. If they're able to actually play good basketball for the entirety of the season, there's a chance they host a playoff series, I think.
For sure. All right, my number one pick from last night's games, I'm going to go with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett leading the Knicks to the 111-97 victory over Harden's Clippers debut. We're really picking this one because we can talk about James Harden, how he looked with his new team there in L.A. But first, some love to the Knicks. Julius Randle, best game of the season for him. 27 points on 9 of 21 shooting. I know you're going to see 9 of 21 and go, that was his best game. Yeah.
Yeah, he was hooping.
Yes, significantly. you could do without the 6 turnovers, but he was obviously scoring, which was great to see for Knicks fans. RJ Barrett, he returned from a sore left knee. He had 26, also had too many turnovers, but he chipped in 6 boards and 4 assists. This was a tie game heading into the fourth quarter, 76 all in a Madison Square Garden. Low scoring game at 76 there. And I thought Dante DiVincenzo was awesome throughout the game, but specifically in that final frame. You know, we had this one on playback down the stretch there because it was close. He was making play after play, you know, just playing harder than most everyone else out there. He had 12.6 boards on the night, and the Clippers were out-rebounded 48-31. Mitchell Robinson played a part in that as well. Outscoring the Knicks did the Clippers 56-38 in the paint. So good stuff from the Knicks there,
yep.
Especially from Julius Randle and Barrett, these guys that are up and down, and Randle's been just down to start the season, but had a little breakout there. But let's talk about James Harden.
Yeah.
Let's get your take right away. He played 31 minutes, 17 points, 6 assists in his first game since being traded from the Sixers. First game since May?
Yeah, that was actually shocking to me. I was like, yeah, it's his debut. Cool. He's finally starting for a new team here. But yeah, he hadn't played in literally 6 months, and it looked like it. He didn't do anything the first quarter. Just passed it.
Yeah, he was feeling out the game. Yeah. Feeling out his, I guess, his veteran teammates there, looking for Zubats. Had a couple nice dimes, but you're right. Didn't even attempt a shot, did he?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Finished 6-for-9 from the field, though. He did say, quote, felt kind of weird out there, not really having a preseason game or an opportunity to participate in a full training camp. None of that. I was out there just basically winging it.
Didn't he also say, like, I was tired. They were moving fast out there.
He did say he was tired.
These NBA players, man, they're fast.
I think Ty Lue even commented on, yeah, the conditioning was a factor. But yeah, how did you think he, you know, gelled with Russ and Kawhi and Paul George in the limited run he got here in one game?
Not great. I was not impressed at all, really. It was too much your turn, my turn. You could tell that, A, it was Harden's first game in 6 months and his first game with 3 other players who are ball-dominant players. You know, Paul George was kind of chilling in this one. He took 11 shots, finished 2-for-11. He probably shouldn't be the guy that fades into the background on this. We've talked so many times over the years how it's tough to be the third guy coming into a super team, and how are you going to get your shots? James Harden is coming in as a third option here who wants to be a first option, when in reality, Kawhi Leonard should be the guy. He took 6 shots in the first half. At halftime, Ty Lue said, you're our best player, man. You need to take more shots. So it's going to be kind of on Kawhi to maybe go against his nature here and be outspoken and say, hey, we start and end with me. Because that's the reality of the Clippers. If they're ever going to do anything in the playoffs, if they're ever going to be a competitive team here, it's going to be Kawhi Leonard going Terminator mode and looking like a top 5 guy in the league. How do they get the best out of Leonard with Harden, with Westbrook, taking turns? Like you said, basically the only thing they had figured out last night was we can run a pick and roll with Zubats at any time because there's 3 Hall of Famers just spacing the court on the outside. But you also don't want to be running your offense pick and roll with Zubats every single time down the court, I don't think. So there's a lot for the Clippers to figure out. This is probably why they are happy to get the trade done so early into the season. So they have a lot of games to iron things out. But a minus 13 with the starters on the floor last night for LA.
Yeah, it's a good point about maybe you're better off having done this deal now. There's going to be some growing pains. You are waiting to get Terrence Mann back to the lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, this you know, jolt of energy there, a guy that you didn't want to trade for James Harden. So they've got time. But yeah, after one game, it wasn't all that inspiring.
This game was pretty cheeks, Skeets.
Yeah, it was, and that's the only reason I took this one early is for the Harden
that's right.
Clippers debut. But let's keep it going. What's your number two pick?
My number two pick, maybe this one's a reach, but I'm taking the Philadelphia 76ers beating the Washington Wizards 146-128. An instant classic, Skeets.
Yes.
This is an Embiid pick right here. Yeah. 48 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists in 31 minutes. The guy played 31 minutes, had an entire game in the third quarter. He scored 29 points on 10 of 10 field goal shooting and 9 for 9 in the free throw line. Just in the third quarter. Obviously, it's the Wizards. He's basically going up against Daniel Gafford, who, unfortunately for him, played him well the first couple of possessions in the game, so then Embiid had to put it on him. Rave reviews, though, from other Sixers in the postgame. Nick Nurse said, that's pretty efficient. Tyrese Maxey said, he's good at basketball. Mm. And then Embiid himself said, we played a team. We played a team?
Wow.
This was crazy. A big dub for Embiid. He could have easily gone for 50 if he played at all in the fourth quarter. But yeah, he was completely dominant in this one. The Wizards have nobody to deal with Embiid inside. So there was nobody to deal with Embiid inside, especially with Tyrese Maxey in setup mode. 11 assists for him, 0 turnovers. It was just a pick and roll every single time, especially in the third quarter. They racked up the points. Also, a nice little bench boost from Nick Batum, 4 for 5 from 3.
Okay, I like that the Celtics lose to the Wolves, their first loss. The Sixers keep winning. That means Wednesday night when these two teams play. I mean, they're playing for first place.
Yeah, baby.
In the Eastern Conference, or at least to hand the other team their second loss. I also checked Basketball References. NBA MVP award tracker after that monster Embiid game. I'm like, oh, I wonder if he jumped up a couple slots. Yeah, Jokic, right now, favorite, 62%.
Yeah.
But then it's Embiid with about 19% there of their award tracker vote. Then it's Luka, Tyrese Maxey, Tatum, Curry, and so on. So, yeah, he is putting up 48 and 31 minutes. Not bad.
Not bad.
I mean, it is against the Wizards, but not bad, and they're rolling. I can't wait for Wednesday night.
We played a team.
We played a team. That is
that's a Lee Ellis quote. This was a game of basketball.
This was a game of basketball, yeah. All right, let's get it back on track with an entertaining game here.
What, you're saying a reach by me?
Yeah, well, both of us did. Yeah, my number two pick, SGA, he returns. He scores 30. A very quiet 30, that's what he does, as the Thunder ease past the Hawks in the end, 126-117. It was close. Isaiah Joe blew this game open at one point. He hit three threes in the span of 50 seconds. That gave him a nice cushion. The Hawks got it to within, I believe, 6 or 7 sort of down the stretch, but it was defense from OKC. They did a really good job on Trae Young, who shot 5 of 18.
Yeah.
Lou Dort was the primary defender. I mean, he had a huge block, actually, on Trae Young when it was still a game. There was, like, 2 minutes to go. Hawks had the ball, and Dort just, like, snuffed out a three-point attempt there from Trae Young. They went the other way, and I think that was the one where SGA threw the lob to J-Dub, so that put them up 118-109. It was basically game. But good stuff here from the Thunder. Even though they somehow won a game in which they gave up 25 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I saw that going around Twitter last night from our guy Schlecht. I'm like, what? Hold on, that can't be right. They're winning and they won, you know, sort of handedly in the end. Yeah, they gave up 25 offensive rebounds and still won. They were helped out by the Hawks shooting 37% from the field. So, yeah, you can get all the offensive rebounds in the world, but you still got to score.
Yeah, you got to make the shots.
And the D was there. Couldn't end some possessions, but the D was there on some of these guys. So I'll go with that one as my number two pick. Any notes on that one?
25 offensive rebounds for the Hawks, but only 19 second chance points.
Yeah, that's crazy. See?
Doesn't add up. Must have been the Oklahoma City flu. It gets everybody from time to time. But, yeah, the Trae Young stuff is weird. He hasn't shot better than 50% from the field in any game this season, shooting 33% in the early days of the season, only 27 from three. The Hawks went on a nice little win streak right here before this loss. So theoretically, they're thinking, well, we'll be good once he actually starts coming around. But between the start of this season and the entirety of last season, like, Trae's percentages are not great, Skeets. So we'll have to see if he's able to be a little bit more efficient going forward. But yeah, big dub for Oklahoma City. I saw a nice pass from ChatGPT to Cason Wallace on the break.
That's right.
He said he saw me, and then he looked away, but he was still looking from the corner of his eyes. So he was fixing to do something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
He did.
Chet Holmgren had a good game. You know, I already said Williams had a good game. Obviously, SGA with 30. Isaiah Joe hitting those threes. you know, everybody contributing. I guess Giddy had a bit of a rough game for him, but they got the victory there, and nice to see SGA back in the lineup. All right, number three pick. Where are you going?
Closest game of the night, perhaps a steal.
Oh, yeah, that's a great steal.
Overall pick here, Skeets. Bam Adebayo, triple-double. Jimmy Butler scores 28. The Heat hold off the Lakers 108-107. Maybe this dropped to the third round because of the Heat's ugly court.
Yeah, it did. Every time we went to playback to watch this game, we're like, oh, it's close, entertaining. And we're like, ugh. What the hell?
Are there lights reflecting on the floor? No, it's a gradient and a low-contrast red font in the middle of the black lane.
The Heat culture court looks absolutely atrocious. Along with their jerseys, too. It just looks so bad. It played a part in it's slipping here because Bam and Jimmy were awesome.
I think so, yeah. And also, ugly on the court during clutch time here. The Lakers used a 10-1 run to cut Miami's lead to 1 with 2:40 left in the game. Neither team scored the rest of the way. The last 2 minutes and 40 seconds of this game, neither team scored.
Still, free throws or field goals.
Crazy, right?
Holy, that's got to be rare.
But it came down to the final couple of possessions here. The Heat had the ball at 28 seconds left. They were up 1. They got a chance to ice things. The Lakers are basically playing a zone with Anthony Davis out. Christian Wood manning the middle. Bam Adebayo catches the ball at the free throw line. He's having a great game. Travels. Doesn't even look at the rim trying to make a play. So that was weird, but it gave the Lakers a chance to win the game. LeBron drives hard to the rim, draws 2, rises, kicks it out to the corner. Wide open 3 for Donyell Marshall.
No.
Nope. Wide open 3 for Cam Reddish.
There you go.
Clankaroonie. You never want to hear Cam Reddish for the win. You don't.
I mean, he's wide open. The guy can hit a corner 3. It was a great pass. Well, he should be able to.
They got a lot of guys that are missing time, and he missed that shot. I also kind of thought LeBron could have dropped it off to Christian Wood for a layup right underneath.
Yeah, because he sort of had it sealed, yeah.
He'd sealed, and Bam was, like, coming over, obviously, to take away LeBron's layup. But what am I supposed to say? That guy's one of the best passers in NBA history. If he thinks that the better play is Cam Reddish, he's probably right. That's how you empower people. Give them shots to miss. And then once it comes actual winning time, take the shot yourself. Some nice lines, though, for the Heat. Jimmy Butler went for 28. Bam Adebayo, 22 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists.
Wow.
That's a lot of roast beef. And the first 20-rebound triple-double in Heat history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a hell of a line.
Yeah, I guess you would probably think, like, maybe LeBron did it. He would be the only guy.
Yeah, true. Because, like, you're not going to go a lot of 20
boards, yeah.
Or anything like maybe boards, but not assists, yeah. Okay, interesting. Bam, great game. And you're right. Honestly, great defense. Come over and at least challenge LeBron there at the rim. Make him make a decision.
Yep.
Kicked it to Cam. Just couldn't knock it down. And Austin Reeves had another decent game there for the Lakers, too. Though they're losing here. And LeBron is playing a ton of minutes. And, Anthony Davis left this game. Well, he left it. He came back. He left it. He came back. And ultimately, they shut him down. I believe he's got a groin injury, but he's saying he's good to go on Wednesday, so maybe it's not serious.
Yeah, the good news, you mentioned Austin Reeves. He's hooping right now, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. The bad news is that the Lakers are 0-4 on the road to start the season in the early days here. And then, the Anthony Davis thing was weird. It was like they called it a groin spasm. Sounds nice.
Wow.
Said it was a hip spasm. Doesn't sound as nice.
No.
Nonetheless, he said he's supposed to be back playing, or he wants to play at least Wednesday. We shall see.
Okay. My third pick, I guess, sixth overall, I'm going to go with Giannis, going for 36-12 as the Bucks beat the Nets 129-125. Close game, back and forth affair, actually. It's game runs, people. It was going to be the Cam Thomas game if the Nets had held on to win. This guy scores 45 points on 33 shots. Woo! That guy will let it go, but he's on fire. Guy's like scoring nearly 29 points per game this season. But in the end, the Bucks scored the 17 of the final 27 points. So they got them when it mattered most. The Freak did a lot of his damage late. He had 9 points sort of during that late span. Had a couple blocks as well, or he deterred a couple shots at least. And they pulled it out. They needed this. I think the Bucks did. The Nets are scrappy, and they're missing guys. You know, no Claxton, no Cam Johnson. But the Bucks shot a season-high 48 attempts from deep as a team. They made 16 of them. It's 33% shooting there. But the starters, 5-for-27 from distance. Giannis, he took a season-high 7 3-pointers. He only hit 1, but it was a big one.
It was a big one.
It was a second chance opportunity.
For a dollar,
That's right. He took a 3 and missed it. I think it was Brooke Lopez that tapped it out to him. and he let it go again with some confidence, and he splashed that one. So a pretty important one, but you know, always weird to see Giannis shooting 7 3-pointers. That can't have happened a lot in his career. I didn't check, but
he's taken a lot of jumpers to start this early season. Too many, but maybe he's just trying to save himself a little bit for further on down the line. 7 Bucks players finished in double digits. I mean, they had to scrap this one out, though, against a team that they should beat pretty easily. But then you go back and look at the guards who have played against Milwaukee so far this season. Season opener, 31 for Maxey, 20-11 for Trae Young the next game, 35 for Tyler Hero, 24-11 for Schroeder, and then in back-to-back games, 45 for Jalen Brunson and 45 for Cam Thomas. They are flammable right now. Though, Adrian Griffin has made a change. More drop for Brooke Lopez. Basically, the Bucks came and said, hey, let's go back to what works here. It worked well against the Knicks, I thought. They played pretty solid basketball, but, I mean, giving up 125 to a Nets team that's just like ISO, 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 that's bad stuff.
Yeah, I do like that Jay Crowder saw some significant time down the stretch in this one. I thought he was really good for Milwaukee and helped them get the victory defensively, at least down the end. Ziller wrote in his newsletter this morning, speaking of, like, guards sort of flaming the Bucks here early. Ziller wrote, quote, "Something that is probably nothing that I still feel somewhat obligated to mention. Damian Lillard is a minus 53 in 202 minutes this season. The Bucks are a plus 71 in the 86 minutes with Lillard on the bench." Gazooks.
Gazooks is right.
I mean, it goes hand in hand with what you just said. A lot of those points are putting Damian Lillard in the action.
Yeah.
And guards are torching them. And Cam Thomas was one of them. And until he wasn't, man, that guy that guy has never seen a shot he doesn't love. But 45 is 45.
I'll say something that's interesting here. When I'm looking at all the breakdowns here, only 58 points in the second half for the Brooklyn Nets and only 3 minutes and 43 seconds of playing time for Malik Beasley. Lillard is going to be starting. He's going to be playing 40 minutes a game when it really matters for the Bucks, and he's not going to be a plus defensively, which means you can't have a guy like Malik Beasley out there all that often alongside Lillard as well, because then there's 2 perimeter targets for other teams.
Yeah.
You can deal with one of them, I think. And, you know, as Middleton comes along and is able to handle bigger minutes loads, maybe we see less and less Beasley. But there was a reason he was out of the playoff rotation for the Lakers last season. And it's looking like that same reason could be the case for the Bucks here.
Yeah, they have options at least to obviously play instead of him, be it Marjon Beauchamp or Connaughton or even Crowder, obviously in a similar role. That's a good point, though. I was going to make one more, but now I forget it about that game. What the hell was I going to tell you? I don't know. Let's move on.
It'll come.
Man, it was good, too. It was probably a classic moment we were about to have. It was probably a short we were about to clip, and it was going to get millions and millions of views. But I can't fucking remember it at all. I told you I was up all night. Final pick. Okay, that was a bit for a bit, but now it's actually angering me that I can't remember. Final pick here. Lots still on the board. Where are you going?
I can hear the fans. They're chanting, Homer pick. Homer pick.
Oh, don't do it.
They wanted some love for the Bulls hitting 18 threes and a big dub against the Jazz. I even considered the Indiana Pacers scoring 152 on the Spurs. But ultimately, I got to go with Nikola Jokic passing LeBron James on the all-time triple-double list in a win over the Pelicans last night. 35 points, 14 rebounds, 12 assists for triple-double number 108 for Nikola Jokic in 604 games.
Wow.
That's one every 6 games, and I'm like, in the past 4 seasons, it's probably one every 3 games. Maybe 2 every 3 games. I don't know. I'd have to do the math, but it is crazy. I think the number one thing I saw on Twitter last night as this game was going on was Bored Neo fighting Agent Smith in The Matrix, where he's just like,
bah, 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 bah. Oh, sweet.
This is easy. This is easy for me because it is so easy for Jokic right now. You mentioned it. He's atop the Basketball Reference MVP tracker because this was a pretty easy win for Denver in the long run against a good team. You know, the Pelicans have some health problems, but Zion was out there, Ingram was out there, and no Jamal Murray for the Nuggets. That's concerning. They said he's going to be out for a while. But my favorite part of this game was a rookie shootout. Career-high 31 points and 7 threes for Jordan Hawkins, getting the start for CJ McCollum there on the Pelicans. And then a career-high 21 points and 5 threes for Julian Strother off the Denver bench. He had his own takeover moment, basically in the fourth quarter. Scored 12 points in 5 minutes. hitting threes, dunking. It looked awesome. The guy looks like an actor to me. I don't know who it is, but he just looks like an actor to me. Maybe a character guy. But cool stuff from Jordan and Julian last night.
Did you see Jokic postgame step to the podium and said, I know what you're going to ask me, so let me just do it. And then he proceeded to talk for 2 minutes with all the questions he figured everybody was going to ask him, and did a pretty good job. Like, he hit on, like, the Rook. He hit on, like, how they're playing, obviously, and the team they played against. It was quite funny. And then I think he got up and left. He was like, let's just do this a lot quicker. Here. And then he went through all his points.
Maybe that's just how he lives his life. Like, he can foresee everything that's going to happen on the basketball court, so he has all these triple-doubles quite easily and just cruises through games, barely breaking a sweat and putting up monster numbers. In post-game press conferences, he knows the questions that are coming.
This is why he's into horse racing. He knows how the results are going to go down.
He's a modern-day Biff Tannen.
He's got the almanac. We figured it out.
Wow. What damn. A scandal. What a scandal. It turns out he went back to the future, found a sports almanac, and came back and became the best basketball player of all time. If I was Biff Tannen, that's what I would do too. 100%.
That's absolutely what I would do. We've talked about this before, and like Jokic, even I wouldn't hit every shot because we have to make it somewhat
make
believable.
It
yeah, exactly. People would be on to me if I shot 100%. So you got to miss some. Wow, he's got the sports almanac. Wow, that's incredible. All right, great final pick. My last pick here with lots on the board. You know, the Warriors got a win in Detroit. The Pistons hung around for a good chunk of that game. Then Curry sort of took over. We had a couple other blowouts. Pacers just killing the Spurs. Yep. Your Bulls did quite well against the Jazz. But I'm going to go with Elprin Şengün flirting with the triple-double to help the Rockets beat the Kings 122-97. What? Yeah. Houston, for the second consecutive game, just killed the Sacramento Kings. The Rockets have won three straight. They have improved to 3-3. They are 500 for the first time since October 22nd, 2021, when they started the 21-22 season, a very cool 1-1.
What a start.
But they're 3-3. Şengün was awesome. He fell just 2 rebounds shy. He got it in assists. When you hear 17-12-8, you think points, rebounds, assists. No. Not with Şengün. He had the assists. He just needed 2 boards. And the reason he didn't get it is because he played 26 minutes. Didn't play in the fourth quarter. This was very Jokic-like. But an awesome game. And you really can see the effect that I think Ime Udoka, their head coach, Van Vliet, obviously of that point guard, and Dylan Brooks are bringing to this team. They're playing with a little FU attitude. Şengün after the game, we're playing like animals out there right now. And Dylan Brooks, he's on fire. This guy he's on fire, but he's not even attempting like 20 shots a game. He is really playing controlled, and is just hitting a lot of threes. Kings are 0-3 without De'Aaron Fox. So big part of the slide here. He might be back soon, but there's another reason the Kings are 0-3. Apologies to Deuce and Mo, especially Mo. Don't think I haven't noticed that the Kings have not won a game since the broadcast team added Mike Bibby as a pregame, postgame analyst. They haven't won. Now, that's not a coincidence. You might say it's Fox. Oh, yeah. No, it's Bibby. The Bibby vibes are there now, and suddenly things are going to go to shit. Okay? That's my working theory. We've got a lot of crazy theories here on today's show.
Yep.
Jokic actually has an almanac, and Bibby is the reason the Kings are on a slide. But weird Kings schedule, too. They've played 4 teams. That's
what?
It. Well, they played the Warriors twice and lost both. They've played the Rockets twice and lost both. And then the other teams they've played, they won. They beat the Jazz on opening night, and they beat the Lakers in overtime. Just a strange, weird schedule from
them. That's pretty
weird. Yeah, but they need Fox back. Big time, but still pretty embarrassing to get hammered like that in both games. One game, it's a long season. Happens all the time. It's rare to see it in back-to-back situations, you know, back-to-back in the sense that they played them 2 times in a row here.
Yeah, they're bottom 10 on both sides of the ball right now. You're expected on the defensive side, but with Fox out, the offense just ain't the same. Quiet game for Sabonis last night. One of my big takeaways is I think Elprin Şengün has upgraded his dunk package. This guy's throwing down every single night right now. Had another big one last night. Had a couple the first week of the season as well. Looks more athletic. That helps. And You know, the Rockets, I think, are like 15th in defense right now.
Yeah.
If he can hang defensively, he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of plays, he had the big dunk. Best play last night? Probably the Pacers' Isaiah Jackson blocking Wembanyama at the rim.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was wild. Yeah. I mean, it's like cool to see anyone that's 7'4 get blocked, but like he came over. I don't know if Wembanyama was going to dunk it. I don't know what he was going to go gadget arm it, and he just like lays it in.
That's weird.
But he got caught by surprise there. Isaiah Jackson, as the Pacers, like I said, cruised to victory.
Yeah, it was either that or Furkan Korkmaz finding Joel Embiid cutting for a dunk. It was a sick Furk pass. That was nice, man.
Nice pass.
I rewound it so many times. I was like, is that him? Is that Furkan Korkmaz?
You didn't believe it.
I didn't believe it. Why was he in the dunker spot? It didn't make any sense. More like the disher spot.
There you go. And I guess the only other game we didn't mention was the Mavericks taking care of the Magic on the road, 117-102. That was close for a while. We were keeping our eye on that one. The Dallas Cowboys, Orlando Magic.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys versus Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, it was... You know, the Mavericks get credit for a clutch win here because it was like a 5-point game with specifically 5 minutes left, and then they won the last like 5 minutes by 10 points. So it wasn't a clutch game in the end. But since those 3 seconds ticked off from 5 minutes to 4:57, it counts. Wow. Mavericks undefeated in clutch games.
Oh, there you go. I'm gonna bring up some clutch stats after our first break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and then we'll give you 7 stats you need to know. Don't go anywhere.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. If you're just joining us and you missed the top of the show, make sure you hit the like button. It's JD's birthday. That's all he's asking for a birthday gift. Hit that thumbs up. Great comment here in the stream team as well from, Jim Cabrera. What about the Jaylen Brown poster as play of the night?
There you go.
Yeah, I think that was number one on the NBA YouTube's top 10.
Top 10 plays.
Yeah. Top 10. Great dunk. Huge, huge dunk there from Jaylen Brown on Rudy Gobert.
Was, yeah, I mean, but it was no Korkmaz pass.
No, it wasn't.
It was pretty good.
I didn't see that one in the top 10. All right, time for a new segment here on the No Dunks podcast. 7 stats you need to know. Oh, yeah. Calculate them. See the cards. See the stats. Here we go. We're looking at some notable numbers from the first 2 weeks of the regular season. Huge shout out, by the way, to Brian Martin at NBA.com for inspiring the idea and helping me sort of parse through this small sample size. First one is what you need to know. We love points here on No Dunks. Mitchell and Embiid, they lead 5 players averaging 30-plus points per game. Last season, we had a record-tying 6 players average over 30 points per game. So this year, we're currently at 5. It's Donovan Mitchell and Joel Embiid at 32.5 points per game. Luka, 31.6. He's played 7 games. Steph Curry, 30.9. He's played 8 games. A lot on the road. The Warriors have had a very heavy road schedule. And then Tatum at 30.5. We have 35 others who are averaging at least 20 points per game. Durant is 29.9, so he's nearly there at the 30-point per game mark. And then Cam Thomas, I said this earlier, he's at 28.7 mm-hmm. points per game mm-hmm. through seven games. Probably the most surprising name there on the top of the leaderboard. Any thoughts?
Who was the sixth guy that had 30 points per game last season? Was it Devin Booker? Did he get over 30 points per game? No, he's 27.8. He obviously hasn't played hardly at all this season. He's at 31.5 points per game. So if he racks up enough games, maybe he passes Kevin Durant here to make it to tie the record at six. But otherwise, I don't see anybody else getting there.
Well, De'Aaron Fox is actually averaging 31.3 points per game, but he's only played three games.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I highly doubt that would stay that high. That's insane. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that six, that record-tying six guys going over 30 last year will probably hold. But we'll probably settle into four or five here. That sounds right to me. Tyrese Halliburton, by the way, is averaging 24-12. And he's shooting with shooting splits of 49, 40, and 92 right now. Net bad there for Tyrese Halliburton. Okay. The Celtics and the 76ers are top five on both ends. We're talking offensive rating and defensive rating. Five teams with the top offensive ratings in the league right now. Pacers, 120.4. Then the Celtics and Sixers are tied at 119.9. You got the Mavericks at 119.7 and the Nuggets at 119.2. Those are some great offenses right now. By the way, depends where you look for these. NBA.com and Basketball Reference, their offensive and defensive ratings, they're slightly different. So it might be you know, a little out of whack if you're looking at Basketball Reference. I'm pulling from NBA.com. Five teams with the top defensive ratings. Timberwolves, right now, significantly, 100.7 defensive rating. Then the Knicks, then the Magic, then the Celtics, and the Sixers. So Boston and Philly, both 5-1, are the only teams right now in the top five on both sides of the basketball.
And I think you would say they've maybe been the two best teams, definitely in the Eastern Conference.
Yes,
you would throw the Nuggets in the mix as well. I see on Basketball Reference, they are sixth on both ends. Right now, they had that 89-point game where they just... It was their one bad game so far this season.
Yeah.
But those have been the three best teams to start the season so far. Celtics, expected. Nuggets, expected. The 76ers playing this well is a bit of a surprise. They don't seem to have any sort of effect from how things went down with James Harden. They obviously brought in a whole bunch of power forwards now. The vibes are good. Everybody can score 20 points in their starting lineup, it seems like.
Yeah.
And you got Furkan Korkmaz just dishing out
okay,
there. Just dishing.
All right, our next stat you need to know. I promised you clutch points. Here they come. Steph Curry has 28 clutch points. He leads the way. But we have seven players in the league that have already racked up 20-plus clutch points. Trey, you talked about it. It's this idea of a close game. It's within 5 points in the final 5 minutes. That's clutch play. That's how the NBA defines it. So Steph, 28 points, 9-13 in 18 minutes of clutch play. He's pretty good.
Pretty good.
LeBron, 26 points, 10-14 shooting in 27.9 minutes. You know, we're obviously getting into seconds there. Luka, 25 points, 8-11 from the field, 5-7 from three. In about 18 and a half minutes across a perfect Dallas Mavericks clutch play record.
yeah, of course, yeah.
And then just a final note, Wembanyama at age 19, he ranks tied for fifth in the league. He's got 23 clutch points.
Scored a ton in that win against the Suns.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, what was it, 8 or 9 or something like that? Mm-hmm. That's what he had. All right, next one. Let's talk a little bit more about Wemby. Wemby versus Chet here for the Rookie of the Year. Through the first 2 weeks of this season, we got five rookies averaging double-digit points. Wemby and Chet Holmgren are leading the way. Tale of the tape, here's Wemby's stats. 19.4 points per game on 46% shooting, about 8.5 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.3 steals, 2.6 blocks. He's shooting 32% from three, 76% at the line. He's averaging a lot of turnovers, 3.6 turnovers. You know, that's just behind Scoot Henderson when you're looking at the rookies there. I think Scoot was averaging 4 a game until he left with injury. And Wemby's playing 29 minutes per game. Spurs are 3-4. Okay?
Yeah.
Chet, 17 points per game on 56% shooting, 8 rebounds, 2.7 assists per game, 1 steal, 2.4 blocks. He's shooting nearly 54% from 3. On 3.7 attempts per game. So not as many attempts as Wemby, but decent amount. He's 90% at the line. Guy's basically money if he gets there. And he, just like Wemby, playing just under 30 minutes per game, OKC, 4-3. So they're pretty comparable. So we're going to have a fun race here.
Yeah, both great starts, kind of as expected. I think that when we look at the season-long stats, they will be kind of similar to this. Victor will likely lead on the counting stats, like higher points per game, higher rebounds per game, higher blocks per game. And Chet will probably lead on all of the efficiency stats because he's not the number one guy on his team. He's not taking, you know, like between the legs, step back three-pointers like Victor is. They're letting him really explore his game, whereas Chet's playing like standard stretch five basketball alongside a top 10 dude in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So what you're asking from these guys is different, and that's why it's going to be pretty interesting when it comes down to it in the rookie of the year race, because OKC will finish ahead of San Antonio in the standings, but I think it's over. I mean, I think it's going to be over for the rookie of the year race after that 38-point game from Victor Wembanyama. Who's going to vote against Victor Wembanyama?
It's a fair point. If the Thunder are, 15 games better than San Antonio at the end of the year and the numbers are comparable, he's going to garner a lot of attention and deserving votes. I'm talking about Chet, of course.
Yep.
I understand what you're saying, though. I mean, I would still be thinking Wemby's going to get it, and that's how the votes will go. But I do think it's going to be a lot closer than maybe some thought coming in. Though there were people out there saying, hey, Chet Holmgren is a dark horse rookie of the year pick. You were saying it for a long time. I heard other people say it. It's like that idea is like he's had a whole season in an NBA organization, obviously not playing because of injury, and that's worked for other guys to win this award. And I think it is a leg up on some of the other guys. But any other rookies that have impressed outside of those two? I mean, I don't think anyone else is going to have a chance to win Rookie of the Year, but who else has impressed you?
Asar Thompson, I think, has been like the third most impressive rookie to me, just the way he's able to stuff the stat sheet so far. You know, the jumper is definitely going to be a work in progress. Every three he takes is going to be wide open this season because nobody's going to be closing out on him, but he looks like he's already going to be one of the top defensive players in the league. Just the athleticism and the length and the anticipation and timing that he brings out on the perimeter. He's going to be a lockdown guy. Like, he gave Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a ton of trouble in their matchup.
Derek Lively II has played great for the Mavericks. Brandon Miller has really impressed. I know no one cares about the Charlotte Hornets, but he's looked really good. Like, he belongs, of course, as a number two pick. And a couple others that I'm sure we'll be talking about as the season goes on. All right, next one here. Back to scoring. We saw, actually, I want you to guess, how many 40 plus point games do you think we had last season?
In the entire season?
Yes. How many total number, not by the number of players, but I'll give you both. 40 burgers last season.
Give me an NBA season 82 40 point games.
We had 203 40 plus point games last season.
I didn't have any sort of realm to guess.
57 different players.
That's a lot.
Well, 2 weeks into this season, there have already been 11 40 burgers. 11 40-plus point games by 10 different players. Steph Curry is the only one to do it twice. He's the only one to go back and eat twice to get a second burger. 41 versus the Kings, 42 versus the Pelicans. Both wins. Zach LaVine has the highest point output in a game, 51 in a loss to Detroit. Four other 40 burgers came in a loss. Cam Thomas there last night, Halliburton, Brunson, and Donovan Mitchell. And then the other ones in wins, Embiid with 48 last night, Durant, DeJounte Murray, and Luka. Okay, so like outside of maybe Cam Thomas, but we've seen him do that before. I guess honestly Halliburton scoring over 40, that's a hell of a lot of points for a guy that's like known as more of a playmaker.
Yeah, so yeah, that huge quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
That Jordan wore a quarter.
That's right, 25. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's right.
But I
wouldn't be surprised if he goes over 40 again. Great shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Pacers just like play lightning speed. So they are putting up some serious points. But what did you say the total number was from last year?
203.
Seems in jeopardy to me.
57 different guys.
57 different guys. Let's name them all right now.
I mean, that is so many. I'm sort of with you. I don't think we get to that level, but we'll get there. We'll get close. You know, it'll be over 150, 40-plus point games, and we'll probably have 35 different guys. Like, I mean, of course, there's no LeBron. There's no AD. There's, you know,
Lillard,
no Anthony Edwards,
yet,
you know. Yeah, like you go on and on and on. A bunch of great scorers. As for Big Beef performances, which is 20-plus rebounds in a game, we're at three total.
Yeah.
Bam last night, Vucci Baby, he had 20. And DeAndre Ayton with the most rebounds in a game this season at 23.
He's leading the league in rebounding right now.
Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sabonis didn't have a good game last night. I think he had eight boards, so it dropped him 0.1 rebounds behind DeAndre Ayton.
Okay. Keeping your eye on that. I like that.
Always.
All right. Next one here. A stat you need to know. This is fun. LeBron owning the restricted area. The guy's what? 38 years old. You're 21. Still the best in the restricted area. But we've had four players who have scored over 40-plus baskets in the restricted area. LeBron, 45 field goals made in the restricted area, shooting 78.9%. Zion, 42 field goals made on 65.6% shooting. Giannis, 40 on 73% shooting. And then this last one, very difficult. You want to take a stab at
it? Not Jokic or Embiid, then.
Not Jokic or Embiid. That's why it's interesting. With 40 field goals made at 81.6% shooting.
40 field goals, 81.
That's tough. You gotta, like, this guy is not getting the ball and going to work. He's just scoring in the restricted area, probably on alley-oops.
Aaron Gordon.
Nicely done, sir.
Yep, nice.
Aaron Gordon is 40 for 49 in the restricted area. Outside of it, 2 for 8 from in the paint, non-restricted area, 1 for 8 from mid-range, and 4 for 16 from 3.
Respect.
So he is doing his work at the exact rim. But yeah, Aaron Gordon, the fourth there is, or at least 40-plus, that surprised me.
Know yourself.
That's right. Final one, you sort of already slipped it in, but the Celtics, they lead the league with a best 14.1 net rating. The next two, 76ers, 12.6, Nuggets, 11.8, and those are your three best teams.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, net rating. Celtics, Sixers, Nuggets, however order you want to put them in, it does feel like right now, through 2 weeks, they are the best teams as they lead the league in net rating. Fun note here, though, Spurs rank dead last in the NBA with a minus 11.6 net rating.
They got smoked one game, right?
They got smoked two games.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah. Two shellackings. They lost to the Clippers by 40 in late October, and they lost to the Pacers last night by 41. But so they're 3-4, but they have the worst net rating.
Their Pythagorean wins are going to look messed up at the end of the year.
That's right. So there you go. Again, thanks to Brian Martin. Thanks to NBA.com. Some stats you need to know early in the season. 2 weeks in. Does it feel like 2 weeks to you? Feel like 2 months? 2 days? 2 hours? 2 minutes?
It feels like perfectly 2 weeks to me. It feels like we've watched exactly 2 weeks of basketball.
I agree with that.
The teams are starting to reveal themselves to us, Skeets.
When will we be doing another tier ranking?
See, for me, the next tier ranking has to be post-trade deadline.
Okay.
We're getting a look at what the teams actually are going to look like.
I'm fine with that.
In the postseason. Yeah,
save your tears.
Save your tears.
One more break, and when we come back, tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Okay, let's start wrapping up today's classic with a little tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Few tweets from the same guy named Ben. @Ben_Dowsett. I thought this was interesting. I mean, this is for the sickos only, but this is fascinating to me. So, Ben reported yesterday, his sources say, in 2.5 weeks since my initial report, which he had below on a Twitter thread, on issues with the NBA's new Hawkeye optical tracking system, problems have only increased in scope. Tensions between the team staffs and the NBA league office are sky high after another disastrous league-wide call today. He went on to explain here, examples of problems teams are seeing, the data from this Hawkeye optical tracking system, it's coming through with glitches showing more than 10 players on the court at once. That's a problem. Especially in-season tourney courts are confusing the cameras, resulting in bad data. And full games of team data are still missing. There is no timetables for recovery. So this is, I guess, causing quite the friction here between the teams like and coaches that just want their data from this new system in play. But it's like, it's not working. And these courts are having an effect on it.
So they just switched cameras and the cameras are worse?
Yeah, the idea is like these...
Well, the cameras are better, but they're worse so far.
Yeah, they're not working in terms of inputting the data. The idea is like this Hawkeye stuff, from what I can tell, is more like what tennis uses, you know, to see obviously if the ball is in and out, and a couple other sports that they've tried to implement, but they're botching it here. And so teams are now getting pissed, and coaches are getting pissed at the data nerds. They're like, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. And the NBA is sort of refusing to take responsibility for these issues. Yeah, it's a really weird story that I've been sort of following here since Ben's reporting on it. But I love that the courts, those crazy courts, the thing's all messed up, and there's like more than 10 guys out there.
Ooh. Never seen anything like this. Even cameras are confused.
Yeah. So we'll keep our eye on this Hawkeye optical tracking system drama, if you want to call it that. Let's call it there. Any other thoughts?
I thought you were like gonna shake my hand.
Hey, good
let's
show
call
there.
It there. Nice one.
Hey, good show there, guys. Good stuff, birthday boy. I didn't see a single issue from your side of the room, JD. I thought you had a flawless show.
Oh, I made a couple mistakes.
Oh, really? Shit.
Yeah.
Well, let's just do it all over again.
Okay.
Run it back.
Maybe you can fix it in post. Is that
no.
Possible?
Oh, it's a live show, Skeets.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. News to me. Thanks for joining us live. Hit that like button. Again, not for the show, not for the content, for JD's birthday. Make sure you subscribe. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. No games on tonight. Little weird. Now, I bet you a bunch of other NBA podcasts, they would take the day off tomorrow. They'd say, there's no games on. What are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about?
Are you kidding me? We got NBA news, a lot that we couldn't even slip into today's show. Robert Williams III, surgery. Kerr says he's going to step down after the Paris Olympics with Team USA, after they finish fourth again. And a couple other things. Oh, San Francisco has got the All-Star game in 2025. Well, yes. Kerr already knows he's going to lose to Canada, so he's like, I better get ahead of this. So we have a bunch of news. The point is we have a bunch of news on tomorrow's show. That's right, we'll be here live at 10 a.m. Eastern from the Classic Factory. We're also going to hit the beach, so if you have a great question, tweet it in at No Dunks Inc. Leave it in the YouTube comments or email it in nodunks@theathletic.com. Mm-hmm. All right, until tomorrow, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And Skeets, you know how we'll really know if Nikola Jokic has the almanac from Back to the Future?
No.
If he starts wearing two ties at a press conference.
Is that what Biff did?
That's what Michael J. Fox did.
Oh.
He was wearing two ties in the future, Marty was.
I was
never
thinking,
caught on.
I was thinking if Jokic goes back to the Future 3 setting, like the old timey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That he's going to, like, he'll love the horses. Everybody's on horses. He'll stay. Yeah.
So we don't need these cars.
So something to think about.
Really something to think about.
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Embrace the day, people.